podcast, January 11th, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And you can listen to us on online radio 24/7. Also visit us on thesportscast.net. Also follow us on Twitter, thesportscast1. And check out our app, The Sportscast for iOS. Wednesday update is usually kind of random, but today we have a special guest from across the pond, Sean Postow. He'll be previewing the Arkers side of anyways, he'll tell us. Sean, welcome back to the Sportscast all the way from the UK.
Thanks, Santiago. It's a pleasure to be back on and exploring your great audience and all the different varieties of sports that you guys cover on here. So it's humbling to be a part of it, and I'm very gracious that you've had me on to talk about the darker side of boxing. But we've done this a few times before now, where we've come on the show and we've talked about the dark side of boxing. I think we did a bit of an episode for season two when we plugged season two, and now we're here again. Season three starts on next Monday, the 16th of January. 10 episodes, takes you right through to around the 20th of March. 10 stories, 10 new stories, some of them quite familiar with boxing fans, some of them not so familiar with boxing fans. There's a good mix of well-known tragedies and stories in there, and there's ones that, you know, even I didn't know about prior to putting the episode list together with Johnston and doing the research for each episode. Can be quite painstaking at times, especially if you don't know the person or the character or the story per se. It's quite difficult, but I'm confident that actually there's 10 great stories, and you know, I think we've told them in a really dignified and great way that people are going to really resonate with the stories, and they're going to have their opinions about them. And obviously with some of these stories, there's always conspiracy theories that arise, so it certainly creates talking points and debates, that's for sure.
The sport of boxing is something that we talk about here and there here in the Sportscast, but Sean brings a lot of life to it, a lot of light to it as well. So tell us about season three. Actually, we're going to watch a video of the preview of the season three of this new podcast season coming up.
The Darker Side of Boxing returns.
Wow, and crazy a couple years ago, yeah.
Nuts, just nuts.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. A lot of chasing around.
Having fun.
Macho Camacho was taken off life support today. The former lightweight champion was shot in the face while sitting in a car outside a bar in Puerto Rico.
Ray Boom Boom Mancini versus Duck Koo Kim. That was the one where Duck Koo Kim died in the 13th or 14th round.
The point where no one wanted to touch him, no one wanted to be in the room, no one wanted to shake his hands in a matter of 24 hours.
He succumbed to drink, drugs, gambling, and violence.
I'm undefeated in bar fights, 127-0.
John Morrissey, a man who was indicted for murder.
They want to harm me, want to destroy me for their own selfish reasons.
Coming soon to the BTR Boxing Podcast Network. Available on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts.
The Darker Side of Boxing, Season 3. One of the main fighters in this trailer is Hector Camacho. He's a Puerto Rican. Tell us a little bit about him and his feature for this podcast season.
Oh, well, I can certainly confirm that he is our opening episode. For those that didn't already know, it's got to be a big opening episode and a big finale. And we always look to pick characters that, you know, have transcended the sport in some way, shape or form. And Hector Macho Camacho was certainly one of them. You know, he had a troubled upbringing. He had a difficult upbringing. He was a fighter all the way through his life. and his career all the way up until his untimely demise in 2012. And the story predominantly focuses on his upbringing and his boxing career. Not so much his boxing career, because we tend to do that for our other show, the Career Profiles podcast. But we do focus on some certain pivotal moments within his boxing career in the episode. But, you know, towards the end, of course, you get the incident that occurred in 2012 where he was shot and killed inside of a car, and one of his friends who he was with at the time was killed on the outside of the car, and it was a drug-related incident. Now, what was compelling to me about this whole story was the fact that it was only this past year, early 2022, where the people that committed the crimes that actually killed Macho Camacho and the friend that he was with at the time were actually charged after 10 years. So for 10 years, these guys had been basically running around scot-free and being able to carry on with their lives. Well, Macho Camacho wasn't here anymore. And you know, he had some troubled moments, and it's evident in the episode from the stories that we source for the episode that he does have some troubling times. And what it seems like towards the end of his life is that he was getting things really back on track, and, you know, that things were starting to look a little bit up for him. I mean, some that might know him closely, that might watch this, might say otherwise, but we got the interpretation that things were going better for him in life. And then this happened. And then, you know, he's taken away from his family. There's disputes over who his girlfriend was at the time when he passed away. And there's arguments over that at the funeral. There's just so many like different things and elements to this story, which it's just typical Macho Camacho, really. If you know his flamboyancy and his personality, then you'll know it was all sort of in line with who he was as a person. But it's, for me, Santiago, it had to be a great opener. It was one that resonated with me. It was a fighter that I watched in the 90s growing up, and I just felt compelled to tell a story where we'd actually got an open and shut case, essentially.
Hector Camacho, a classic boxer. So tell us about season 3 compared to season 2 and 1, Sean. What makes it different, and how it will make it special?
I think the way me and Johnston and the whole BTR Boxing Podcast Network as a whole have developed in the past few years has been fantastic, and it's been exciting for us. And we always say on our show all the time that, you know, we are just two normal guys that work a day job and have families, and this is a passion and a hobby for us. And, you know, the fact that we actually get paid for doing this now is like amazing. You know, the fact that we get paid for advertising through the Sports Social Podcast Network, and, you know, the fact that our YouTube channel has now been monetized and things like that have allowed us then to outsource things that are now being developed. So promotional videos like you've just played for us there, you know, we can then outsource someone to do that for us and pay them to do that for us. And it's the same with obtaining research information, because it's quite easy to go onto Google and search for Hector Macho Camacho and, you know, find numerous articles and information out there. But it is a lot more difficult to find information that you have to go out there and pay for. So you've got newspaper reports, you've got clippings from years gone by, you've got things that are not essentially, you know, out there without some sort of paywall in front of it. And it's that paywall that now we're able to break down. We're able to find more information for the stories that actually people have possibly not heard before. And, you know, we take a lot of pride in the fact that people walk away from listening to our stories and go that, you know, they haven't heard that before. Or even people that are avid boxing fans or claim to be boxing historians sit there and go, well, I've never heard that before. So me and Johnston take a hell of a lot of pride away from the fact that we're able to bring that to the table for people listening. So it's amazing. It's an amazing journey that we're on, and it still continues on. And we've got plenty more seasons to come with this show and our other shows as well.
Johnston, definitely a great co-host for you and this podcast. There is, maybe you can give us a hint who it is, but I know that you're going to cover a boxer that was a pimp and also served 4 years in prison, but also became a champion, world champion.
Yeah, I mean, this is an interesting episode. I don't mind sharing this one. It's not in the trailer itself, but We are going to cover the past of Adonis Stevenson. Obviously, world champion boxer, had a unfortunate incident in his fight with Alexander Gerdvik, and he ended up sustaining injuries, which left him partially paralyzed. And I know he's got his life back on track, and I know things are going well for him in life. But there's a great story behind the sort of different moments in his life and his boxing career, which we felt compelled to cover. I mean, you know, there was allegations of him being a pimp, and you'll have to listen to the actual story that we present to sort of find out what we've sourced and what's out there. Obviously, we've got information from various sources, which we've quoted, because we definitely don't want to be subjected to some sort of lawsuit from Mr. Stevenson. All this information that we've sourced is all factual based information, is sourced from reputable sources. And you know, if he listens to it and he gets offended by it, then you're gonna have to go and put a lawsuit on them, not us. We're just presenting information that essentially is there to be presented, and we hope that people do genuinely enjoy the, you know, the episodes that we do present. But yeah, Adonis Stevenson, you know, he's a character, isn't he? People have their own perception about him and his past and his boxing career, and you know, it's good to kind of put all of these things together from all different angles and different people that have been around him, and sort of let the people that are listening to these episodes make their own judgment on it. It's not for us to make that judgment. You know, we'll have our own personal opinions on stories and situations. We're entitled to that. But people out there can make their own assumptions about him. They can make their own judgments on him. They can say, actually, this is a load of cobblers and it's rubbish. You know, that's fair enough. But we're just presenting facts and information to people and letting them make their decisions. And in the meantime, they're actually just enjoying the way we present it to them. So yeah, Donna Stevenson is in there as well. We've got a couple of other episodes that maybe are very notable. Tommy Morrison is in there. We're going to cover Tommy. We've covered Tommy Morrison before for our Career Profiles podcast, but this time it's different. Obviously, the elephant in the room is the whole conversation around HIV and AIDS, and we've managed to be able to get Trisha, his wife, involved within the darker side of boxing. She's been very accommodating, and you know, she's going to be involved in his particular episode, as well as a special addendum to the show. So you know, it's going to be good to hear from her during this season, and you know, giving her perspective on what happened with Tommy, because she's out there still campaigning every day now about Tommy Morrison, and basically trying to make sure that his name is not been tarnished like it was at the time.
Now, will she be the first guest within this podcast itself?
No, not particularly. No, I mean, we've done guest speakers before. We've done authors. Season two, we had a couple of the authors on of some of the source material that we used for the show. So it's great to get different people's perspective on these characters and these stories. So I think with obviously Tommy's, I know how much Trisha is trying to sort of put herself out there and say, look, I've got evidence to the contrary that he never had HIV or AIDS. And, you know, as part of this story, if we're going to talk about that elephant in the room with Tommy Morrison, who better not to bring on than her? She's got her opinion. She wants to voice it to as many people and as many YouTube outlets and boxing outlets as possible. And, you know, we're in that category, really. And I think she asked me a few questions about the show and the premise of it, and I sent her some examples, and she looked at it and thought, yeah, actually, she obviously sees this as a good way of obviously the agenda she's got as well. But for us, it's a great addition, because, you know, you're getting perspectives on Tommy's case and Tommy's life from somebody that was there and that lived some of it with him.
One thing that Sean brought up is being he presents the facts. It's up to the listener to maybe have an opinion over that, or maybe do more research. Sean, have you guys gotten some research done that you haven't seen in other boxing outlets ever released? Or you're kind of like, yes, we see it before, but we're getting more into, like, way deeper into it?
Yeah, I think that's what I was alluding to a little bit earlier when I was talking about when people listen to the show, if you're listening to a certain story or a character, it's likely that you're listening to it because you know them in some capacity, or you've watched their boxing career, you know their story, for example. And most of the facts are already out there, but it takes a little bit more digging than just your average searches on the internet to find that information. It's about talking to people that maybe were around them individuals. You know, some of the history-based information, like, say, from the early 1900s, it is incredibly difficult to find information out there. But if you look hard enough, there are stories out there that you can present to people. Some of it you might think is fact, some of it you may think is fiction. And that's the beauty of it, really. People get to make kind of their own mind up. We're presenting the story. So if there's a story that seems quite outrageous, the likelihood is it probably was a big game of Chinese whispers at the time. Like, people were kind of making stories up about this individual and it just snowballed. But how are we ever going to know that? Because maybe that person isn't here anymore. So we just want to present as much information about a character or a story as possible and let people make their own mind up about it. And, you know, in the meantime, if we teach them something new, you know, job done for us, really, because all we've done is taught ourselves something new in the process.
Have you ever gotten to stories where the boxer was injured that you didn't know about until you got into the series?
Not particularly, no. Like, I think what, for me personally, what I get out of this is I love storytelling. I love presenting stories to people, but I also love learning still about the sport. It's a very big learning process for us as well, because as each year has gone by that we've done different series, we've learned more about researching techniques, we've learned more about presentation, delivery of story, audio editing, video editing, you know, everything that comes with trying to create a successful independent podcast. And each year, you know, we sit down and look at how we've done the previous year, and every year, you know, there's been some significant improvements that, you know, have led to more people finding us and listening to us. So I think, when going back to your original question, like, there's not been anything that's shocked me majorly, I think, within what we've done so far. I think it's more of, like, the stories out there that maybe have been told, but very limited detail has been presented out there beforehand, whether it's a news article, whether it's a small short documentary on YouTube, whether it's a short podcast that someone's done on a certain individual. For us, we want to go above and beyond that. We don't want to do something that's 15, 20 minutes long and maybe does, you know, do well on YouTube for like 10 million hits or something. We want to present something that's extensive. And if that takes us 1 hour, 30 minutes to 2 hours to do that, that's fine for us. And that's fine for the listener, because they're listening, they enjoy it. But for us, we feel like we want to do like a definitive version of it. So I think that's kind of what we've tried to do over the past 2 to 3 years, is when we present stories about characters, people, events, we want to try and get as much information as we possibly can to present to people. So, like, it's kind of like the go-to place to listen to. So, like, I'll give you a good example. A good example would be season two, Mitch Green. So we did the episode on Mitch Green, and since that episode, have had two different people from your neck of the woods contact me. One was someone that actually got in contact with Mitch Green and actually met Mitch Green and sent me a few photos of Mitch Green as of the past couple of years ago, because we was wondering what he looked like now, because there weren't a lot on the internet of him at the time. And then only recently, as early as sort of this last week, we had a contact from somebody who was actually the defense lawyer in his case against Mike Tyson and Don King and Don King Productions. And he'd listened to that podcast and he was just sent me this big long email. And it was like, wow. At first I thought it was some sort of lawsuit against us, because he said it was from someone from a law firm. It turns out, obviously, he was the lawyer at the time, but he's just an avid boxing fan. And he found our podcast and he listened to it, and, you know, he kind of wanted to add something to what we'd already done. So he's contacted us and said, look, I've got some information here that, you know, isn't publicly available and never has been, and I'd like to come on your show and kind of present it. And I thought, wow, you know, so that sort of element of what we get out of it and what it leads to is still unbelievable to me, but it's exciting. I still feel just as much the fan as I do the presenter.
How many episodes will you have for season three?
We're sticking to 10 episodes. I think is a nice amount per season. It gives me and Johnston enough time to record them in advance, edit them. Like I say, we are just a two-man band. We also have our guy, Sam Beresford, who looks after our YouTube channel and does some of the promotional videos for us. But really, you know, it's a two-man band in terms of the researching and the producing, the editing, and it takes a long time. Like, big podcasts, as you know, like, they have their own companies that actually do all the editing. They have their own production teams that do all that for them. So it's just a case of the two content creators sitting down, recording it, and then walking away and cracking on with whatever's next on the list for them. For us, it's different. We do an episode, and then we have to sit down. We have to listen back through the whole episode. It has to be edited. All the audio imperfections have to be dealt with accordingly. And then it has to be uploaded. All that sort of stuff, it's all done by ourselves. So ultimately, we'd love to do more episodes. We'd love to do more frequent seasons. But 2023, we are doing 10 episodes of The Darker Side of Boxing. We're doing 10 episodes of our Career Profiles podcast and 10 episodes of our Legendary Nights podcast. And then everything else that comes is just sort of just standard, you know, like the big fight stuff, the previews, the reviews, the sort of ad hoc interviews. So that's kind of our plan for this year, as alongside The Darker Side of Boxing.
Darker Side of Boxing, amazing hit. If you listen to an episode, it's very professional. It feels like you're listening to BBC Radio, literally. It's how professional it is.
We try our best. I think I'm gonna shout Johnston out here, because everybody that listens to Johnston, he's from the south of the UK. He's from London, and obviously, like, I've got a Manchester accent, he's got a Cockney accent, a London accent, and some of his pronunciations, as our listeners will very well know, can sometimes go a little bit awry, which can cause problems with editing, of course, and it causes some hilarious moments, and we've started actually turning those hilarious moments from the podcast into like little bloopers episodes, because, you know, while we're doing this, while we record this, I think what's most important about it is we have fun as well at the same time. We do have fun doing it. And there's moments where we maybe have to read a line out of a story that we've put together, you know, within our script of the story. And sometimes it is really difficult not to laugh and break out in laughter, because of the, you know, you can't believe that this is a thing, or this is a moment. So yeah, it's fun, and that's the main thing. As I've always said, as long as we enjoy doing what we do, we'll continue to source stories, we'll continue to present and produce and put it out there. The day that we don't enjoy it is the day that I'll be retiring from this.
Will you have a bloopers episode?
Absolutely. We did do one for season two, and I'm going to do another shameless plug, but it's because we have obviously our Patreon membership service. I think that's quite popular in America. It's quite popular here in the UK too, the Patreon membership service. So we do have a handful of patrons who essentially pay for a certain tier to be able to get early access to our episodes or the ad-free versions of them, because now we're with another network. Obviously, there's ads littered throughout the episode. So for people that don't want to listen to them, you can become a patron from as little as £1.50, or I think it's around about $1.75 or $2 in America. And you can get ad-free episodes, and then you can get early access to episodes. So, like, for example, the patrons are getting the first three episodes of The Darker Side of Boxing tomorrow on the 12th of January. So the first episode goes live on the 16th. They're getting the first three episodes tomorrow. So they'll be happily listening to that. But they financially, they support us in that way. And that, again, allows us to do what I've said earlier, which is outsourcing and getting other people in to take some of the workload off us to then allow us to produce more content. And it's just a dream, isn't it? It's just kind of like living the dream, really. And we're kind of, you know, one step towards that. Maybe we'll never get to that sort of fully fledged being paid to do this for a living. But for us, we get so much enjoyment out of it. And that little bit of extra financial, it really does help make it even more professional.
And how can people join your Patreon?
Patreon.com/BTR Boxing Podcast. Like I say, available tiers are on there. You can do the minimum one. You can do the I think the maximum one is £10 or around about $11.50, $12. But you do get more for that. We do have a patron only series as well. So it's an exclusive series for the patrons, which is called Boxing Through the Decades. And the premise of that is me and Johnston, we decided one day that we wanted to do something different for the patrons of the podcast. And we have gone through all the decades. So far, we're up to the 1940s. So we've started from 1900, and we're doing every single decade, covering the best moments, the best fights, the best fighters. And then ultimately, what we're going to do is when we get to 2020, and we've done all them episodes, we're going to create a definitive list of the pound for pound fighters over that 120 years. And we know how subjective pound for pound lists are. So it's going to be interesting. It's definitely going to create some debate, but it's just more content for people that are patrons. So there's a lot of things on there that you can get benefit out of for little financial support to us. But thank you. That's a nice little plug for everybody. And I hope that, you know, we can bring some more joy to people's lives.
Of course. Each season, most people have goals for each season. What particularly you want the listener to get out of season three?
Just to enjoy it. Just to enjoy it. And like what we do, we have, like I say, we have fun doing it. We have fun producing it. We have fun seeing people's reactions to it. And we get take a lot of pride in the fact that, you know, we tell stories that maybe people don't necessarily know, or maybe they do know, but maybe they've not heard it in such detail as what we provide. And I think we take a lot of pride in that. And I think if we can continue with that for this season, and we can also continue to obviously attract more people in, of course, that helps. You know, we want to try and make it sort of widespread. One of the biggest goals with this podcast that I would absolutely love to happen, and this is really calling out anybody that watches the sportscast that might be within an industry that can assist with this, is we would love to make this more visualized. So like me and Johnston obviously provide the narrative for an episode, but there's definitely scope out there for it to be turned into a visual documentary with our narrative on the top of it. It's a hell of a lot of work, but we were close a couple of years ago to actually getting this done with an American-based broadcaster, but we just wasn't able to get it over the line. So, you know, if there is anybody out there that thinks they could do that with this show, I think you could probably sell it to like a Netflix or a Hulu or, you know, a platform like that, that I'd actually really appreciate it and probably get a really big widespread audience out of it. Because look at what true crime does for people, all the documentaries that Netflix put on there. Look at what boxing does for people, and you've got the mixture of the two together there. And more importantly, nobody else is doing this out there. Still, even 3 years down the line, we've actually survived without a big production company coming and taking our idea and absolutely trying to rinse us for it. But if anybody out there does want to come and rinse us for it financially, as in give us some money for it, absolutely. We're here. We're open.
I'm sure something will come through. Sean, looking at current events, it's 2023, start of 2023. Any big matches or events that are you anticipating for this year?
So we did our boxing wish list episode about a week or so ago, and we sat down and we went through a list of fights that we want to see for this year. Top of the list was Crawford versus Spence, Terence Crawford, Errol Spence Jr. That is the top of the list, I think, for both me and Johnston. You know, that's a big, big fight. Fury Usyk, it's got to happen this year. It's now or never for Tyson Fury. He's got to back them words up again, and he's got to fight Usyk. And from his perspective, you've got to beat him. So, you know, there are two big fights this year. But there are many, many fights that we would love to see. Katie Taylor, Amanda Serrano, two. That would be a great rematch to see this year. There's so many of them. So many. I think what is interesting, though, one point I'm going to fire back at you is I've just seen today that the big broadcasting company, DAZN, have released information that indicates they lost around $2 billion in the past 18 months. $2 billion. It's a huge loss for a company to have. And I'm just wondering, is that perceived in a different way over in the US as it is here? Because all my friends are sort of looking at it and going, wow, how long are they going to stay in business?
That is news for me. I know that the Zone was run by Skipper. I forgot his last name, but he used to be in ESPN, and I guess he went to the Zone afterwards. But that is a lot of money, $2 billion. I know there's been other ways to watch the sport boxing. I guess there's just way more competitors. You know, maybe YouTube as well, streaming. But has there been more streaming outlets besides the Zone?
There has, but I think the sort of the level that DAZN are at and the investment they've had into them and the signatures of Canelo and Anthony Joshua, I think you'd expect to see more shows being presented. I think what DAZN have tried to do is try to show a lot of different cards from a lot of different countries. And then what's happened is it's compromised the other shows. Say, for example, like the UK, I think there's not been enough UK shows on DAZN to justify maybe the subscription price that they increased it to last year. And I think they need to scoop up a lot more of the smaller hall events across the world. And maybe that would then entice people to actually want to stay subscribed to them. I mean, I don't know the demographics behind that, but for me, when I'm looking at it, working within this industry and being a part of this industry for the past 7 years, it is a numbers game. It's all about them numbers. And I think for me, if DAZN are not scooping up enough events, people are essentially, like you said, are going to go to competitors. They're going to go to different streaming services like your Fight TVs or your YouTube outlets and pay an extra premium to watch these fights. So DAZN essentially could be losing money at that. But then how much money are they chucking around internally and not spending it in a productive way? I mean, we don't really know, do we? But $2 billion, you know, thousands is a lot to me, thousands of dollars, thousands of pounds, but $2 billion, that is a huge loss. And my prediction for 2023 is that DAZN end up filing for bankruptcy.
Quite possibly. The first time I've heard of DAZN is when Logan Paul had his first fight against UK's own KSI.
Yeah. So, I mean, is it turning into that as well? And that is another problem. Is it straying away from the actual premise of what people want to tune into DAZN for? And if it is straying away from, you know, your legit boxers, and it starts to go more for the sort of YouTube stuff, I think that's when it's going to be a problem. And I think that could be a problem. I mean, why would you pay such an amount of money to tune in to watch that if you're a boxing fan and you want to watch the best fighters across the world fight on this one platform? You're going to end up moving away and going to different platforms. And I think that's what potentially happens. And it also drives people to illegally stream as well. That is the other problem. Like, you know, people say don't illegally stream, but, you know, you go on Twitter, you go on Facebook, you go on any social media account, and you'll just see people saying, where's the stream for this? Can I get a streaming site for this? And that is why, because people don't want to pay it because they're not getting the quality that they deserve, essentially, and they're not getting what they want out of the subscription.
We got a comment from Martin Mulligan. He says, looking forward to the series. Sean, great stories about the sport. Cannot wait.
Martin, you know, Martin's actually a patron. Martin's one of our long-time listeners. And, you know, big shout-out to Martin because, you know, he's very supportive of what we do and he can't champion what we do enough. And we need more Martins in the world. We need more Martins to be – we need more of them promotions like that, because it certainly does help. The word of mouth on social media is huge. And, you know, the more people that can retweet and like and share and post and comment about it, it really, really does help. And really, if you can do it, take a second out of your day to do it. Please do it.
Before we close, your thoughts over the Winter World Cup.
Winter World Cup. Yeah, we was texting back and forth, weren't we, on WhatsApp about this. It was interesting. It was interesting, and it felt very strange being at the time of year that it was. And obviously, there was a lot of controversy over the the area that it was in of the world, and the laws and the differences in culture. But overall, the football for the most part was really enjoyable. And although obviously my country didn't get where we wanted them to go, it was still such an enjoyable event. And personally, I enjoyed it. I think the final was one of the best finals, you know, that I probably say I've seen since I've been alive. And I've been watching the World Cup since 1990, since I was a young boy. So, you know, that's quite a lot of World Cups, really. And to say that Argentina-France game was probably the best final I've seen, I think I'd say it's definitely out there as one of the best.
Quite something. You know that Tyson Fury said he would have gone to Qatar if England made it to the championship game.
He would have done. Yeah, of course he would. I think he's I think he's already kind of, because he's been to Saudi before, and I think he's already sort of become quite a recognized brand, love him or hate him, that is, of course. I think because of that, and he's done that, I think people would have endeared to him. A lot of it is all for the cameras. A lot of it is for the cameras. And I think anybody that speaks to him away from the cameras, he's not always sort of switched onto that mode all the time. I think when he's got an audience, that's when he goes the way he does. But when he hasn't got an audience, he's a different guy. And I think that's what people need to remember about boxing, is a lot of these guys that you might love to hate are actually just normal, down-to-earth people behind the camera and away from that camera and away from the audience. There are a few that are just completely like what they are on the telly, but there's most of them are not. Most of them are just down to earth, normal guys who are just doing what they need to do to try and promote a fight or earn the money that they deserve.
Which Fury does own a football club in the UK, a small one. I think it's a third division one. So he's not a stranger to the world football match. All right. Darker side of boxing. What is the best way the people to listen to this great season 3?
So you can find us on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. If you want to listen via YouTube, it will be on there. Like I say, it will only be the audio. So bear in mind that if you want to listen to it on there, you can find us on any available podcasting app, and you can find us at Darker_side_pod on Twitter. Or if you want to follow any of our other shows, just follow us at BTR Boxing Podcast Network and you'll find everything else there.
It's all there. You can listen to it. And if they're watching on YouTube, they just listen to the audio and have an image over it. Is that how it works?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's not the greatest in the world. Like, for us, we just want to make sure that the audio at least is out there for everybody to consume in some way. And to be fair, there is a market out there. If we didn't put our catalogue up there, we wouldn't have got the actual threshold to get the monetization on the account. So it was worth Sam putting everything up there, and it's worth Sam doing that. However, as I said earlier, and I'll end obviously this conversation on the fact that if there is somebody out there that isn't going to try and demand loads of money of us, but is going to want to help actually turn this into a visualization, then please do contact us. You can email us at beyondtheropesboxingpodcast@gmail.com. I am serious on that note, and I really would like to try and get it visualized. I think there's a huge potential for it. And, you know, you never know, Santiago. We could be talking again in 2-3 years' time, and actually we're showing proper clips of a visualized documentary, which we've done the narration for.
HBO needs some help because they took away their boxing department.
I think Vice, you know, Vice would be a good one, because Vice do a lot of the sort of the true crime element. They do the dark side of the ring with wrestling. And I think Vice would be a good place to start. But I think big TV companies probably would want to basically buy the rights to the show, essentially. What we want is actually our narration. We want our voices and our stories, the way we've done it being told. We just want it visualized in a way which can actually look really good. Like a good example, Santiago, I think there's a few YouTube channels that I was alluding to earlier. They'll do like a 20-minute video on a certain fighter, and they'll get like hundreds of thousands of views, way more than what we do. But we're doing a 2-hour podcast on that same person, presenting you with a full biography, and yet we don't get near that. So I think if there's people out there that can do that for us and have got the time to do it, and, you know, we will financially compensate for it, then please get in touch. Please do.
Sean Bostow, darker side of boxing. You can reach us at thesportscast.net, our website, or the Sportscast One. We'll have links over the podcast below in the description. You can see a link to the podcast as well. Subscribe. And you can follow us on Twitter, the Sportscast One. Also on Instagram, the Sportscast One. And, you know, hey, we cover the sport as well. Well, there you have it, Sean. Looking forward to season three. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for your commitment to helping us plug the show. And thank you to everybody, as always, for listening and tuning in.
Hector Macho Camacho. And this was your update.